Is everybody in? The ceremony is about to begin.
And here we go.
Dr. Evil, we have a problem.
This is going to be cool.
I mean, after all, you're nerds.
They look like a couple of dorks.
Perfect. We couldn't have planned this better.
As of this moment, they're on double secret probation.
What's happening, hot stuff?
These nerds are a threat to our way of life.
What? English, do you speak it?
Yes.
Then you know what I'm saying.
Yes.
And welcome, everyone, to the Weekend Sports Report. Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah to all of you out there. I'm Packer Dave, and let's start with Green Bay here. We've got a lot of NFL discussion coming up later on the program with Les Grobstein from Chicago and Fred Wollen from Los Angeles. But let's start with the Packers here in this segment. They get away with a win in Oakland, 30-20 last week. Now they take on the Arizona Cardinals in Arizona. Arizona is playing for home field advantage in the playoffs. Green Bay is still playing to win the NFC North and a possibility of a first round bye in the playoffs. This game, Arizona and Green Bay. It should be a good one. I will be at that one to cover it. So we'll talk all about it next week on the show. But Green Bay does get away with a win last week. It wasn't pretty. Aaron Rodgers only 240 yards in the game, with an interception to Charles Woodson, actually, who's going to be retiring at the end of this season. 18 years in the league and probably a first ballot Hall of Famer. He made the Pro Bowl this year. The running game after the week prior to this game, where they ran for more yards than they had in many years, the Packers come up a little bit short with James Starks, 51 yards. Eddie Lacy only 23 yards on 11 carries. Seems like Eddie Lacy either has a big game or a bad game. And we do have James Starks to come in and, you know, pick up the slack. And so the 1-2 punch seems to still be working there for the Packers. And Arizona, remember, that's where Aaron Rodgers had his first playoff loss in that high-scoring game after the 2009 season. And then in 2010, the Packers went all the way. So this should be a good game coming up. We are looking forward to it. Let's listen to what Rodgers had to say after the Oakland game.
We weren't very effective. We had less than 300 yards and had a terrible first half. That's kind of cut off every year. You try and get to 10, and you feel like you're going to be in if you get to 10.
Don't sound overly thrilled, though, especially with the way the offense played. So where do you think you are in terms of, in comparison to where you want your team to be?
That's a broad question. I don't know. I don't know how to answer that. But we just don't really have a clear-cut direction. You know, we got into some stuff with John in there and four receivers, but now we're too inconsistent. I think we have 10 wins and we're in the playoffs. And we have a fun day tomorrow.
Are you guys good enough? Are you playing good enough?
Good enough to win. You know, against a team that's had some good wins this year on the road in a, you know, in a wet environment. Next week will be a good test for us.
Aaron Rodgers not sounding too excited after the Oakland game. They did get away with the win, but a lot of it was defense. They had a pick six and a interception early in the game that got them right near the goal line also. So a couple of those touchdowns was courtesy of the defense. Here's Mike McCarthy on the upcoming game and just in general, December football. Here's McCarthy.
I mean, it's about winning. It's about winning in December. There's a reason why these kind of games usually show up on your schedule this time of year. So, but this is about the playoffs. We're in the playoffs now. Everybody understands what we need to do to first win a division and then and hopefully get the highest seed. So, I mean, the division's probably always going to come down to the last week. But this is an outstanding football team that's been playing very good football all year, and we're playing them out there. So, tough place to play, especially the way they're rolling. So this is about winning. I mean, this is about beating a good football team, and there's nothing better than winning, and that's why we're on it today, getting ready to do everything we need to do to win the game.
All right, the Arizona Cardinals certainly playing good football right now, and after a win over the Philadelphia Eagles, they find themselves with only two losses on the season. 12-2, very impressive for Arizona. They are good when Carson Palmer is playing quarterback. And they lost Chris Johnson at running back and Andre Ellington this year to injury. So they turned to rookie David Johnson in recent weeks. And last week he had a great game. Let's listen to David Johnson from the Cardinals on their win over the Eagles last week.
The plane ride was definitely long, but it was a good feeling on the plane. A lot of guys are excited. A lot of guys were happy that we ended up getting that division win. But now it's on to get ready for the Packers, get a lot of rest, a lot of treatment just to get ready for them. For me, it's a blessing, just to come out and help out my team after losing our two great running backs. Coming out and, not trying to lose a beat, trying to keep our team's running game up to par. I think I was just surprised at that hole, that opened up really quick and ended up, just seeing, a gap that was open and breaking a couple tackles.
He's a rookie, but he can run, catch, and block, and the Cardinals have a good one there in David Johnson and a stacked receiving core in Arizona with Larry Fitzgerald, Smokey Brown, and a whole lot of speed at the receiver position in Arizona. It's going to be a good one. We'll talk about that and all the NFL returning. First guest up, Les Grobstein from CBS Radio in Chicago, The Score, when we return on the Weekend Sports Report.
Holiday decorating is in full swing by now for many of you. I'm Danny Lipford with tips for today's homeowner. Stay tuned and we'll talk about making sure you keep your home safe while you make it festive right after this. Old, ugly, or damaged bathtubs and sinks don't have to be ripped out and replaced. Save money and give new life to bathroom fixtures with Homax Tough as Tile Spray-On Epoxy Finish. Preparation is the key, so follow the directions carefully and don't cut any corners. With Homax Tough as Tile, you can refinish your bathtub or sink yourself and get great results without hiring a professional. Homax, creating better homes. It's that time of the year when everyone enjoys the glow of candlelight. Candles are a great way to decorate for the holidays, but every year they're responsible for as many as 8,000 house fires, resulting in 10,000 injuries, 1,000 deaths, and more than $1 billion in damage. The good news is that they can be prevented. Many fires start because candles fall over, so be sure they fit properly in the candle holder base and use candle holders that won't burn if the flame gets too low. Remember to trim the wicks to 1/4 inch before lighting and stop burning a candle if the flame gets higher than 1.5 inches. Be sure to keep candles away from flammable materials like curtains, and finally, don't forget to extinguish them before leaving home or retiring for the night. I'm Danny Lipford with tips for today's homeowner.
Painting just got easier with Handy Paint products. Hey, kick the bucket, paint like a professional with fewer spills and faster cleanups with the Handy Paint Pail and Paint Cup. Easy come, easy roll, the Handy Paint Tray, Roller Cup, and Roller Pail are perfect for all projects big and small. And if you're climbing the ladder, use the multi-use Handy Ladder Pail for all your projects, the safe way to transport paint and tools on a ladder. Painting just got easier with Handy Paint Pail products.
For 50 years, I have been in charge of Christmas. I've jingled your bells and I've roasted your chestnuts. This Christmas, you goons can just rump-a-pum-pum without me.
Hi, Packer Dave. This is Wayne Larrabee, the voice of the Packers. I know you know a lot about the Packers, but let me hang on to the job for a few more years before you take over, okay?
It's the Weekend Sports Report. I am Packer Dave, and I'll be taking over that job. Maybe when, I don't know how old, I think Wayne Larrabee's got about 10 years on me. Maybe when I'm like 75 for a couple years, I could be the voice of the Packers. That'd be a lot of fun. Okay, well, we got a lot of NFL discussion coming up here, and let's go to Chicago and Steve Leventhal. Steve, how are you today?
Oh, I'm doing just fine. You know, Larrabee was amazing. He not only used to do when he did the Bears games, he was also doing like Big Ten, Bulls, all kinds of stuff. He was a busy, busy guy.
Well, that's true, but I'm not interested in anything but the Packer gig.
You would love that gig, wouldn't you? You'd be in heaven.
And Steve is back from a short stint in the hospital. And Steve, you know, I'm glad you're back and you're doing okay, right? You're doing well, right?
I'm doing okay. I had a little setback, something that should have been somewhat routine. Took a decidedly turn to the left, but I survived. And, you know, we've all had our ups and downs. And so thanks so much to Marty Zivin for pinch hitting for me last week and sitting in this chair and taking care of things.
All right. Well, we're glad that you're back and we're glad that you're doing well. But I did see a Facebook posting that you put up here with this. And, you know, it was like thanks to my wonderful wife, splitting time between work and this crabby patient, my good friends, Eric, Marty, Mike, for keeping tabs on me. Those of you sent well wishes, and the professional doctors, PAs, nurses, aides, even the custodians and helpers at the hospital could not have been kinder. And this is like the Academy Awards. You're like accepting an award. I want to thank the custodians. I want to thank the nurses, aides, the candy stripers.
Didn't see any candy stripers, but you know, if you think about it, all right, and I don't know why we're going in this direction, so much goes in. There's so many people there. They couldn't have been nicer. You know, everybody was like, how are you doing? Is there anything we can get for you? And it's like, there's always somebody there. You know, you feel like, blah, you're laid up. And, they really did a nice job of making me feel comfortable in what can sometimes be a pretty unpleasant experience.
I understand. Okay. You sure you weren't fishing for a few likes and comments there, Steve, on Facebook?
Oh, yeah. No, I don't think I would ever do that again if I could help it.
Well, I know that.
And by the way, Dave, happy holiday to you, the Roosh family, to Jane, and everybody.
Oh, yeah. Hold on. I didn't see, you know, I was in constant communication with you throughout the whole ordeal also. And I didn't see my name in the credits there on the Facebook posting. I'm a little hurt, Steve. I'm hurt, you know. It's like, doesn't seem fair.
You're so important, you transcend all that.
Ah, I see. Okay, well, we got a lot of NFL discussion coming up here. From Chicago, he works at the Score Sports Radio in Chicago, CBS Radio. His name is Les Grobstein. Les, welcome back to the show.
Good to be aboard, and happy holidays and happy new year ahead of time, everybody.
All right. Say hello to Les.
Les, the grobber, the one, the only.
Okay.
Hey, how you doing, Steve? You feeling better, I guess, huh?
Yeah. Well, you know, you gotta get in it, and you got to play the game no matter what.
Only 1 week on injured reserve.
How about that?
For Steve Leventhal. Not bad. Okay,
Les. Not bad at all. Not surprising that he bounced back as quickly.
Okay. Well, Les, we're going to just touch on the Bears real quickly because they're not really relevant anymore, and then we'll move on to some of the other NFL teams. But right now, no Pro Bowlers for the Bears. They dropped some games they should have won. They were in the NFC playoff hunt barely for a little while and then lost it. So as they sit right now, your thoughts on the season?
They weren't really in the NFC playoff hunt. That was just a ruse. They got a nice win over the Packers. They played a bit over their head. They were up for it, and they played well, and they didn't make any big mistakes. And the Packers, let's face it, right now they're banged up. They're in first place in their division because they won kind of a fluke game over the Lions after that. Otherwise, the Bear loss and a potential Lions loss could have knocked them out. As far as the Bears go, let's face it, they don't have the talent. They're not even close to having the talent. They're better coached this year than they were at any time during the Trestman 2 years he was here. But that said and done, there are faults with the coaching as well. They're a little too conservative. Part of it is to try to rein in Cutler and not let him get out of control, and I get that. It's kind of worked, and Cutler's had one of his better seasons. But they've got a lot of key injuries. They've got a lot of key problems on defense, especially at the linebacker position. They're a little bit better in the secondary, but this is a team that what they've got left is to face their former coach, Lovie Smith, who they beat last year here in Chicago. Now they're going down to Tampa. You know, Lovie wants to beat the Bears this time around. And then they have a meaningless game against the Lions. Both teams are out of it, and it will be interesting to see who finishes third and fourth in the division.
Yeah, but Les, don't you think Cutler has just taken a major step backward in the last three games?
The game that they lost most recently to the Vikings, I don't think it was his fault. That offensive line has started to get shredded a little bit, and they're not protecting him as much as they were earlier. Their best player on either side of the ball is Kyle Long. And the last two or three weeks since they moved him to left tackle, he's not really used to playing that position. And Kyle, by his own admission, has been, basically bad the last couple of weeks. So, yeah, I'm not going to – I mean, I always argue with some of my callers that either call or text me, well, Cutler is still the best quarterback in Bears history. Excuse me. No, he's not. At least he now has a second victory over the Packers. Jim McMahon used to beat them like a drum regularly, and it wasn't it was the defense. No, it wasn't just the defense. It was because McMahon had to bail them out of several games.
Well, maybe the Packers were pretty bad back then, too, Les.
That's part of it. They were bad, and they were dirty, and they had a dirty coach in Forrest Gregg, and they had people like Mark Lee and the late Charles Martin, may he rot and burn and you-know-where, and other things. But the bottom line is the Bears were that good. They proved it with, if you're not very good, you don't beat Dallas 44-0 in Dallas. You don't shut out two playoff teams in a row, and you could have shut out the Patriots in that Super Bowl if not for Peyton's early fumble that gave away 3 points, and then they gave up a touchdown their third stringers. Bottom line is, Cutler has had his best year as a Bear. Otherwise, Mrs. Kennedy, how did you like the rest of the motorcade?
Okay. Well, the Bears were good 30 years ago, I will say that. All right, Les, let's look at some of the games on the slate for this weekend. In Saturday night's game, Washington at Philadelphia. Two average teams, but with big playoff implications. So your thoughts there?
They're fortunate to be in a lousy division. I mean, the NFC East is an absolute joke. I'll say this for Washington and for Gruden. They played better. Cousins, their quarterback, is playing very well right now. And it's made the decision to go away from Robert Griffin III maybe look a little better. I still think Griffin has better talent all the way around, but he and Gruden have a problem. As far as Chip Kelly, he's been under fire back there. And of course, anybody that doesn't win like crazy will be under fire in Philadelphia just about. But it's an interesting matchup, and right now the Redskins might be playing better than the Eagles.
Okay, what about the Patriots at the Jets? Very important game for the Jets on Sunday.
No question, and I think that as banged up as the Patriots are, they still have Brady. It's just like the Packers. As long as they have Rodgers, they're a very possible potential team that could beat anybody. The Patriots, as long as they have Brady, they are a decent club, and they've got as many injuries as the Packers do, and the Jets, they've done a hell of a job this year. And they'll be up for it, but New England is playing much better right now since they had their couple of losses, and got to like the Patriots in this one.
Green Bay at Arizona. I like the Cardinals here, although, of course, I'm Packer Dave, but they're just playing so well. I hope the Packers win. I'm probably getting a lot of nasty stares at the radio and computer right now from Packer fans, but
why is that any different than normal?
Green Bay, of course, has a chance, but going into Arizona, this is going to be a tough one for them, Les.
Yeah, I like the Cardinals as well because if it was at Lambeau Field, I think the Cardinals are capable of winning up there too, but the Packers are much more dangerous at Lambeau. I think right now they're going to have to run the football, and I don't know what direction to go. I still think Starks right now is a better option than even Lacy, but they're not going bananas with either one. And the fact that the Bears, with their shredded defense, slowed them down, the Cardinals are way, 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 way better than the Bears are. And it is the Cardinals' game to lose. Can Green Bay win that game? Absolutely. Absolutely they can win the game. But part of it is the Cardinals are going to have to help them by making all kinds of mistakes, kind of the way Detroit did a few weeks ago against the Packers when they played them. But, I think this is the best matchup of the weekend. I really do.
All right. It should be a national game, late game on Fox. Then the Sunday night game, the Giants at the Vikings, big game for both teams. I like Minnesota here just because the Giants are so inconsistent, although they did mount a good comeback last week, just couldn't hold them off defensively, and Carolina got that last-second field goal. I like Minnesota against the Giants, but what about you?
I like the Vikings, too, although, about the Giants. Anybody I mean, if anybody in the Giants organization, let's say they don't make the playoffs, anybody talking about dismissing Tom Coughlin is an idiot. Tom Coughlin has shown he's a terrific coach. He knows what he's doing. He's won a couple Super Bowls, both against an unbeatable Patriot team, and he won two playoff games at Lambeau Field. He's the only coach that could say that as a visiting coach. I mean, can the Giants win this game? Absolutely. I'll give the edge to the Vikings. I think it's a heck of a matchup.
I would ask him to step down if I was management at the Giants, so I must be an idiot. It's just, it's over. Let somebody else, give somebody else a shot. They've missed the playoffs a few years now. But
well, a lot of times you do that. The Bears moved away from Lovie Smith, which I thought at the time was a good move. Then Trestman came in. That turned out to be a disaster, as it turned out. And yet, that said, they almost made the playoffs his first year, but they choked, losing two games to the Eagles, and real choke in that last game against the Packers, as you no doubt remember a couple of years ago. But in my opinion, a guy like Coughlin, he deserves a lot more support than it appears he's getting there. But this is going to be a good matchup. Again, there's some good games this weekend. There's no doubt about it.
And the Monday night game, Les. This week we got a good one. Last week we had a dog. This week we have a good one. Cincinnati at Denver. And with the backup quarterback in Cincinnati, backup quarterback for Denver, for all intents and purposes, I give the home field advantage to the Broncos.
Oh, the Broncos are tough to beat at Sports Authority Field at Mile High. They still, even though they got a different quarterback situation, they still have a really, really, really good defense. And they've had a good defense dating back to when Elway was still playing with them. The reason they won back-to-back Super Bowls, Elway's last 2 years, was as much about their defense and a terrific offensive line. And by the way, they still have that as well. Cincinnati, they still have R.J. Green. And if they get the ball to Green, I mean, I don't know if he's the best wide receiver in the league, but can we agree he's top four, top five?
He's right up there, A.J. Green. You got it. Okay. And before we let you go, Steve, you wanted to go back to Cutler and how it affects the draft.
Well, yeah, I was going to sort of say, you know, maybe it's time to sort of consider the Cutler thing. It's just not going to get any better. And as you know, as less and less of his contract is left, not that you necessarily could offload him, but you know, the Bears are going to be picking in the top third of the draft. There are a number of quarterbacks that may not, you don't want him as necessarily as a first rounder, but let's say, you know, Connor Cook from Michigan State or the kid Jones from Ohio State, or there's a good Penn State quarterback. If you can get somebody in the second round, is it time to maybe put a little more pressure on Jay and consider, alt control delete?
I like Cook the best of all those, but a guy like Goff, out in Northern California, I'm not thrilled with any of them to turn around and be a difference maker. I'm really not.
Goff's not going to make it.
Any one of these guys is going to be a difference maker. So yeah. I think Cutler's back next year. I don't think they have any kind of option, and they certainly have no backup. I mean, their backup, Jimmy Clausen, they unloaded him, and they're not going to play Sales. I think they should play backups in these last two games, but Fox wants to. Just like Lovie Smith in the past, he's more worried about his win-loss record than trying to protect players. So the thing with Cutler, nobody expects him to ever win a Super Bowl for this team. That's a legitimate and smart Bear fan. So, you know, it is what it is. I don't think that they're not going to have a Rodgers or a Brady or even people like Breeze or anybody along that line. I don't even think they got anybody as good as Phillip Rivers right now.
Yeah, no, the top quarterback in the draft is Lynch from Memphis State, but also Goff, he may not make it out of the first round. Somebody's bound to possibly pick him up, but no, you're absolutely right. But if I'm sitting there and I'm Ryan Pace, I'm like, you know, we got to fix this team, and, you know, the defense is god-awful, so it's almost like, where do you start?
I mean, they're going to have two first-round picks this year because Kevin White, their first-round pick of last year, they're going to gain him, and he didn't play it down this season, so they'll have him and whomever they get in the first round. Don't be surprised if they trade it down, if they can get some more quantity. And, you know, they need quality, but the problem is they need quantity too. And normally when you trade a high pick for several and trade down, it can work a little bit, but it doesn't work as much. The Bears have had a history of doing that, but not with this particular regime. I think that Pace is unlikely to trade down, but at least if they get an offer they can't refuse, he might do it.
Okay, Les Grobstein, you can hear him on The Score in Chicago, CBS Radio. Les, thanks for coming on the program. Have a great holiday season. Happy New Year to you.
Yeah, have an awesome 2016, guys.
All right, cut there. All right, Les, thanks a lot, man. Good work.
Talk to you guys when I get back from Hawaii and feel better, Steve.
Thanks a lot.
All right, buddy. Bye. Now let's hear John Fox talk about where the Bears need to improve. Here's John Fox.
You know, I think, kind of these four words kind of always ring true in my brain, and that starts from me down. But, you know, basically focus, intensity, preparation, and then really just the mental toughness to create all those things on a consistent basis. So, we're not there yet. I look at, even watching the game last night, there was a team playing that gave up 295 yards in the first half and then was completely different in the second half. So having that ability to change your fortunes, finish a little bit better, that's something we haven't been consistent at.
All right, John Fox. Now, you got a big game, Washington, Philadelphia. Here, Coach Jay Gruden talks about his quarterback, Kirk Cousins, how he's improving. Here's Jay Gruden.
I think just him playing is and him being, just getting all these reps and just playing better. But we just talked about, I just showed him the success of another quarterback and how he's managing a game. And he's not doing everything himself. He is letting his players do the work for him. A lot of quick game, a lot of balls getting out of his hands. And just managing a football game. But I think it's mainly on Kirk. I don't think there's any talk that I had with him or Sean or anything like that. I think Kirk coming out here progressing, getting better, studying the tape, really, and then studying the practice reps and just getting better every day. Kirk has really been on point as far as his preparation for each game and just continuing to get better and better.
All right, and also Coach Chip Kelly of the Philadelphia Eagles. The Chip Kelly offense, the famed Chip Kelly offense. Well, it's got them in the playoff hunt in a bad division. They were really bad against the Arizona Cardinals last week. But here he talks about Cousins and the Redskins' defense. Here's Chip Kelly.
Obviously they're getting great quarterback play right now. Kirk Cousins is playing outstanding. I mean, he's completing a real high percentage of passes. He's also very active with his feet. He had a 13-yard touchdown on Sunday against the Bills. You got to be aware of not only how good they are in the run game with Alfred Morris, but now with the bootlegs and the play actions off of it because of Kirk's athleticism. But I think he's completing a real high percentage of passes. He's doing a really good job with them on the offensive side of the ball. So, we're going to have our hands full with that group.
How's the secondary different with
D'Angelo? Well, they've moved him to safety. I think Trenton Robinson, who played against us in the first game, is now not there. So I think they're just trying to get their best guys on the field. And, you have a veteran like that that's played so much, and we got such respect for him in terms of what a good football player he is. I think he's added to that group in terms of just a smart, heady veteran football player back there playing the safety spot for him.
All right, Chip Kelly. So a meaningful game Saturday night. The Redskins and the Eagles, and that NFC East is going to come right down to the wire. So at least it's a game that has some meaning. We've had a lot of meaningless games on national TV recently, especially on the NFL Network. And this one does have some implications for the playoffs. Now, let's look at the MVP discussion. A lot of talk about that. If you listen to sports radio, I think it's hands down Cam Newton. I don't see how you can argue the point for anybody else, but Steve is going to try. So, Steve, why would you think Cam Newton wouldn't be the hands down
MVP? Well, yeah, you certainly
MVP?
Can't argue with his numbers, 3,400 yards, 33 touchdowns, only 10 interceptions, plus all the rushing yards, and 98.9 quarterback rating. Maybe you can make a case for Russell Wilson at 3,500 yards, 29 touchdowns, and only 7 interceptions.
Is he undefeated, Steve? Russell Wilson?
He's not undefeated. Okay. He's not undefeated.
Right.
But
all right, go on.
What about Tom Brady? 4,400 yards, 35 touchdowns, only 6 INTs, a quarterback rating of 103, doing it despite losing some of the best players on his teams, his running backs, his wide receivers. Half the time, they're like a mass unit over there. Could you make an argument that Tom Brady might deserve the MVP for what he has done as old as he is with the team? And also, he's not playing against Tampa Bay and Atlanta, and he's not playing with 7-7 and 7-9 teams.
Yeah, Carolina's beat good teams. People can make an art. You can make whatever arguments you want the way Cam Newton runs, the way that they have won every game, and that goes back to last year too, I don't think there's any question that Cam Newton is the MVP. But I'm saying Cam Newton. Right now, if you had to vote, Steve, who would you say?
It's tough. It's really, really tough. I mean, yeah, you certainly can't argue against an undefeated team. But then again, how'd they do it? Who are they playing against? I kind of think Brady has done more with less right now.
So you would say Brady's the MVP this year?
I might have to lean that way right now.
Well, I would like a definitive answer, Steve.
Okay, then if you want to pin me to the floor, Brady.
Okay, well, we'll see how that all plays out. I've not seen a quarterback run like Newton has. You know, he's done a good job quarterbacking the team and just all the X's and O's and being in charge. I like what he's done this year. He's a bit of a hot dog, I will say that, but that doesn't get in the way of what he's accomplished. So I guess there'll still be some more discussion on this as the weeks progress. We have got Fred Wollin from Los Angeles coming up here on the program. We're going to talk about that stadium out there. Is there going to be one next year? And even a little bit about the Lakers in the NBA. So stick with us here on the Weekend Sports Report.
Do you have a vacation home or property that needs to settle down for a long winter's nap? I'm Danny Lipper with tips for today's homeowner. Stay tuned and we'll talk about some essential steps for winterizing a vacant home right after this.
Mold on your siding, moss on your roof, mildew on your deck. The easiest way to get rid of it all is with Wet and Forget Outdoor. There's no scrubbing, no rinsing, and no pressure washing. Just spray and leave. Wet and Forget Outdoor is bleach-free and safe for virtually any outdoor surface. Siding, roofing, concrete, stone, stucco, even fabric. Just spray and you're done with Wet and Forget Outdoor. Get Wet and Forget Outdoor at participating Ace, True Value, Do It Best hardware stores, or visit wetandforget.com for a store near you.
A home that is left vacant during the winter months, for whatever the reason, must be protected from the harsh weather, not just on the outside, but inside as well. There's a long checklist of things to do, but here are a few of the essentials. Turn off the water supply to the house and open all of the faucets. Close the sink and tub drains. You'll also want to drain any water lines like the dishwasher and ice maker. To keep water from evaporating from the toilet, lift the lid and pour in some RV-type antifreeze, then cover the bowl with plastic cling wrap. Many people also question whether or not the furnace should be turned off, but in my opinion, it's better to simply set the thermostat to as low a position as you can as long as it's above freezing. I'm Danny Lipford with tips for today's homeowner.
Thanks for calling Consolidated Credit Counseling Services. Can I help you?
I sure hope so. I'm in debt.
Is it credit card bills?
Yes, I have two credit cards that I'm making minimum payments on and another that I'm behind on. I owe about $5,000.
What interest rates are you paying?
Between 18 and 22%.
At that rate, it'll take over 20 years to pay off.
Wow. 20 years?
What Consolidated Credit can do is work with your creditors to lower your payments and reduce or even eliminate your interest charges. You should be able to pay everything off in 3 or 4 years.
What do I have to do?
Just give me some details and get ready to celebrate your freedom from debt.
We're Consolidated Credit. We're here to give you freedom from debt. Call now for your free consultation.
If I had known it was this easy, I would have called years ago.
Call 1-800-530-5341. 1-800-530-5341. That's 1-800-530-5341.
Consolidated Credit Counseling Services Incorporated, 5701 West Sunlight Boulevard, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 33313. Not a loan company, licensed by New York Department of Financial Service and by the Vermont Department of Financial Regulation, Maryland DM-19, Oregon DM-80031.
If you have a rodent problem in your home, any remedy is temporary until you prevent them from entering. For a permanent solution, buy Excluder. Rodent and pest barriers, made of a patented blend of coarse stainless steel and polyfibers, Excluder permanently seals holes and crevices where rodents enter. No chemicals or pesticides, and Excluder door sweeps stop entry under your doors. See it all online at buyXcluder.com. That's buyXcluder.com. buyXcluder.com.
Was the night before Christmas. And all through the dwarf cave, not a creature was stirring, not even drunk Packer Dave. The shot glasses were lined up on the bar with care, in hopes that Jack Daniels soon would be there. The Packer fans were nestled all snug in their beds, while visions of Super Bowls danced in their heads. Dave was passed out, still wearing his cap. Boy, the bathroom floor sure is a funny place for a nap. When out on the driveway, there arose such a clatter. I sprang from my car to see what was the matter. Not far away, I heard a funny sound. Probably more Packer Dave's vomit hitting the ground. But what to my glazed eyes should appear but a big-ass beer truck and eight drunk little reindeer. Now Budweiser. Now Lionese. Now Amstel and Beck's. On Miller. On Heine. On Old Style. And Dos Equis. And then in a twinkling, I heard on the street the prancing and pawing of each little cleat. Dave's cheeks were so rosy, his dimples, how merry! His stomach was empty, and he smelled like bad sherry. His little weasel mouth was drawn up so cute, and under Packer Dave's chin, some dried leftover puke. He sprang to his beer truck and gave the team a whistle, and away they flew like a Brett Favre missile. But I heard him exclaim, "Hey, Weasel, don't you know? After five or six drinks, please, Packer Dave, just say no."
All right, back on the Weekend Sports Report. Want to thank studio announcer Ira Tating. Back about 20 years ago, he recorded that when we were doing the Bears-Packers showdown. It's stupid, but we still play it.
You know, and, Ira Tating has resurfaced, believe it
or
not.
Yeah, he has. He's out there. He's up in Alaska doing something.
He's Who knows from what? The moose.
Yeah, but he's up there. He's whatever. Whatever.
Duck and cover, right? When the moose are rutting, ain't stopping for nothing.
Yeah. All right. Now we bring in from Los Angeles. He is a syndicated sportscaster, spent a lot of time in the sports business in Los Angeles, and has appeared many outlets throughout the country, including Sports Byline USA Radio Network. His name is Fred Wallen. Fred, welcome to the show.
Hey, hi, guys.
All right. Say hello to Fred, Steve.
Fred, how you doing?
I'm doing fine, Steve. How are you guys doing?
I guess I'm in the Midwest, so I'm a little more chipper than the two of you.
All right.
It's cold here in Southern California.
Yeah, during the middle of the week, it certainly has. And I'm in Arizona, Fred, and it's been like highs in the high 50s, and everybody's shivering and walking around with winter coats, and, you know, frowns on their faces like the world's caving in. And it's not that bad. Come on, Fred. You could be a Nome.
El Nino's coming.
All right. Well, let's talk about.
I'm wary of that.
Let's talk about a few things here. First off, you're in Los Angeles, and
yes.
You know, we talk a lot about football on this show, and we're going to start with the LA Stadium issue out there. People are confused. Is there going to be a team out there next year? Is there going to be a stadium out there next year? I'm thinking that's a lot to get done in that short period of time. I don't see it happening, but what about you?
Well, I probably agree with you because, A, there's different groups fighting for different teams coming here. And January 1, of course, after that, they make their proposals. And, okay, so the St. Louis Rams, Mr. Kroenke, okay, bottom line is that he wants to build one in Inglewood, California, right near the airport. LAX people. The Los Angeles airport people say that can be dangerous. So, I mean, we got to think about that. All right. The other situation is in Carson, also, of course, in Southern California, where the other two teams have made their proposal. Bottom line, Carson is right next to a landfill dump. Now, I don't know about you and how you feel about the environment, but I don't want to sit 3-4 hours next to a landfill and breathe that stuff in because it may not hit you tomorrow, but 10 years down the road, it may hit you. And if anybody argues about the environment causing disease and illness, I think they've lost their, well, they're Donald Trump types. And the bottom line is, of course, it does. So we got problems here in Southern California. We really do. And I got to tell you guys, under T-Marketing out of Chicago, the average family of four going to an NFL game last year, this year, 2015, is more than $450. So I ask you guys, how many people in Los Angeles can afford to go to a game? And no matter what these people say, you know, in the end, It'll be taxpayer funds paying some of it. It'll be taxpayer funds either state-wise, county-wise, or city-wise. We know it. You know it. Everybody knows it. So Fred, who grew up a longtime Ram fan and also a Charger fan, and don't like the Raiders because I never liked Al Davis. We've had our problems over the years on the radio and on TV. I don't think it'll serve the people here in Southern California all that well. That is the bottom line.
Okay, and give me the figure again. $400 for a family of four?
$450 for a family of four. And we're not talking best tickets. We're just talking average seats, concessions, parking, things like that. And again, how many? If you make $700 a week, you bring home $500. Are you going to spend $450 on going to a Ram game or a Charger game? You tell me.
Well, actually, that sounds a little light. I would think it'd be more in the $600 range because, you know, all of that, you know, that's only $100-some a piece, and I think you're getting close to $200 when you go to a game with people, especially with decent seats. Go ahead, Steve.
Well, yeah, I was going to say one quick comment was, ironically enough, I had a conversation earlier this week with our man in Southern California, Mark Myers, who's covered the Chargers for a number of years. And he felt pretty strongly that 2016 he was going to be covering Raider games and Charger games. And then the second thing is, well, you know how that is. As with the numbers that you mentioned, I have a strong feeling, you know, it just might become, you know, your special outing is once a year. If you're a hardcore fan, you somehow plan around it. It may not be your family of four. It might be you and your kid and your next door neighbor and his kid. And you make an outing to the stadium and it becomes a huge deal.
What about the Chargers, Fred?
Well, again, I mean, folks in San Diego want to keep them. They've been there since 1961. There's no question about that. But again, it's Carson next to a landfill. And if people don't want to make a big deal out of it, you know, then don't make a big deal out of it. But environmental-wise, it's not safe. It's just not healthy. You're going to be breathing in that stuff. And again, I think people try to hide the fact that in the end, taxpayer funds will go to it. And as Steve brought up, maybe once a year some of the folks will go. What about all the people that won't go? And if their taxes go for this, how are they gaining out of this? Don't give me the $12 an hour concessionaire or something like that. If you get anybody a tax break like this, you can make jobs open. So anytime the NFL or baseball or basketball say, hey, we're opening up jobs, nonsense. I mean, if you give tax breaks to any big company, they can pay people $12 an hour. And so you're going to say that helps people get jobs, that helps in the employment ratio. No, I'm sorry. So anyways, I don't care one way or the other. The bottom line is, if I had my druthers, none of the three teams would come here. And also something else, if you don't have DirecTV, you only, at this point, most of the fans in Southern California get the best games every weekend. Whatever team comes here, you're going to be stuck with that team on the road. And the home games, too, now, because since they're not blacking them out. The bottom line is, do you want that or do you want the best games? I don't know. The bottom line is, are the Chargers a good team? Well, they finally won last week. But the bottom line is they basically stink. Have the Raiders historically over the last decade been a good team? You tell me that answer. And as far as the St. Louis Rams, of course, up and down. So the bottom line is the average person here is not going to get a great deal no matter what team comes here. Eventually, some team will come here. We're the second biggest media market. But I'm not sure by 2016. That's really cutting the time pretty short.
So, Dave, you know what CBS thought the best game was, the program against the Bears-Vikings game this past Sunday?
Go ahead. What was
it? It was Colts-Texans.
Well, at least it had some playoff implications. So, okay, Fred Wellen with us. You can hear him variety of different places, and has been working in the Los Angeles area for a long time. You said you had some run-ins with Al Davis. Could get into that just briefly with us, if you don't mind.
Well, this is hard to believe, but when I'm doing Dodger talk and sports talk on KBC radio in the late 1980s, the Rams were playing the Raiders, and it was at the Coliseum, and they both, of course, at that time played at the Coliseum. And it was a Raider home game. Okay? So I said that at the Coliseum, there were like 10,000 seats in the peristyle end where you really couldn't see the entire field of play. I said the NFL should not count those as far as the blackout is concerned. And I didn't mean it in any harsh way. I just meant it seriously. Okay, so instead of 90,000, 80,000 would be the sellout thing, and you'd show their game locally. Al Davis's people called me up. They had an exterminator call me up, and this is no joke, at the station, and say, we heard you wanted some extermination done. And the general manager of KABC actually called the police, and the police followed me home for the next week or so, worried that Al Davis's people were so nutso about what I said that they were going to kill me. And this is no joke. In the late, it was in either 88 or 89 or 90, that happened to me. And that's Al Davis and Al Locasell, who just passed away, and people in the Raiders organization.
That's really something. I've never heard anybody say anything like that on the show.
Holy cow.
We're glad you're okay, though. But did that...
No, they didn't get me.
That kind of must have been upsetting for a little while for you, of course.
Well, I mean, I'd never... My life had never been threatened before, so yep. Nor since, although on the radio again, I guess that people have under, you know, once in a while, but not somebody with the power of an Al Davis. So, it was a little bit scary. I didn't really want the police to follow me home each day, but they did for the next couple of weeks.
Fred Wallen from Los Angeles with us, and we're talking about the stadium issue out there. So, in a nutshell, you don't think there's going to be anything there next year?
I think the timing is just too tight. There'll be obviously a team here soon because we're the second biggest media market. For the NFL not to be in the second biggest media market is insane for them because all they care about is money. You know it, I know it, Steve knows it, everybody knows it. The bottom line is, so there'll be a team here. We've lived, honest to God, we've survived since the 1994 season. We've survived more than 20 years now without an NFL team. We could survive another 20 years without it, but I don't think the NFL can survive without a team in Los Angeles and Southern California.
Although there are some that would argue you do have professional football in Southern California.
Oh, well, San Diego you're talking about.
No, the USC and UCLA.
They're well paid too. Yes, for sure some USC kids take a pay cut when they jump to the National Football League. There's little question about that. We do know that, and we found that out again with the Reggie Bush circumstance of a few years ago. But the bottom line is, there'll be a team here soon, but September 2016 is only like 9 months away.
Well, they keep saying that this was the last game at Jack Murphy Stadium or Qualcomm Stadium. Where the Chargers going to play?
It's not.
So they're just, it's just hype.
Yes.
And they also said that same thing in St. Louis. They're not all coming here. We're not getting three teams.
0-3 in the 1 year.
I just don't see it happening in that time frame. Exactly. Fred Wallen with us. All right, let's move to basketball. Of course, Kobe on his farewell tour right now. How do you feel about the way the Lakers are playing and the way Kobe's on display out there right now in his last season, Fred?
Well, on Tuesday night, Kobe played his best game of the season. Little question about that, as the Lakers actually won a game. They beat an average Denver team by 4 points. Fifth victory of the season Lakers got on Tuesday night. But again, if you're 5-25, I mean, what can you say? I mean, the bottom line is you're not the worst team in the NBA, but Philadelphia is still that, I guess. But, you know, the Lakers are in an interesting circumstances, guys. If after the balls win the lottery, if they don't finish in the bottom three, they lose their first round pick. So there are a lot of people here in Southern California who are hoping they end up with the worst record and get more chances as far as getting that 1, 2, or 3 pick. Last year, of course, they got the second pick when they finished with the fifth worst record. So a lot of people in LA and Southern California actually hoping the Lakers finish near the bottom, near Philadelphia, so that they actually get another first round pick. Otherwise, they lose it by way of Philadelphia to Phoenix.
Yeah, I'd say there's no chance that they finish one because Philadelphia's got that locked up.
Well, isn't this a bad system, though, where teams are playing to be the worst they can possibly be, Fred?
Well, but you see, that's why they added, the ping pong balls, because it doesn't automatically, for sure, presume that you're going to get it. Before the ping pong balls, you're 100% correct. Teams were better off losing, no question about it. But now, at least with the ping pong balls, you have a better chance of getting the first pick because you have more ping pong balls coming out. But the percentages are in your favor, but it's not an exact science. Where before, if you knew, you know, there's two games to go and you're tied for the worst record, you want to lose those two games. Now, with the ping pong balls, that doesn't necessarily guarantee you a 1, 2, or 3 pick.
Right. The worst you can do is fourth. Isn't that correct?
I believe it's fourth. Yes.
I have an idea. If you lose more than 90% of your games, you're automatically out of the league, and your team has to move, and the ownership has to give it up.
You go down to the D League, where in Las Vegas, the Lakers are the third pick to win the D League. In 2015, 2016. Just kidding, folks. But not a whole lot. I'll tell you what, I grew up a Laker fan. I grew up with Elgin Baylor and Jerry West. When they play bad, they're really bad. On Tuesday night, they played well. Kobe played his best game of the season because he didn't force things. He passed the ball around. And as a fan, that's what you're looking for. You're looking for teammates who care about teammates. You're looking for people that pass the ball, not shoot it all the time. And Kobe did on Tuesday night beating Denver play exactly like that.
Okay. Finally, Fred, your pick for the two teams in the Super Bowl as it sits right now. What do you think? Come on.
No, it's very tough. You know what? If Thomas Rawls was healthy, I would think Seattle would have one heck of a shot in the NFC. I'm not sure without a top-notch running back if even that team can get there. So I would presume – you see, there's so many injuries. Okay, so in New England, who's going to be back in time? If Gronkowski's 100% healthy, I think probably New England from the AFC and from the NFC – wow. I guess Carolina or Seattle. I don't think Green Bay's got the wide receivers to beat you in a key game. So I would say probably New England or on one side and Carolina or Seattle on the other side.
Not on the Cardinals bandwagon, Fred?
Yeah, I am actually. They're fun to watch. I just have a hunch that one way, some way along the line, something will happen. They've got five receivers. If J.J. Nelson is your fifth receiver, you're pretty good offensively. There's no question. And you know they're good defensively. It's just a hunch. And it's not because they're not a good team. And right now, if you're going to judge it based on talent, maybe they have the most talent in football. I just have a hunch that one way, somehow, Arizona will not get all the way to the Super Bowl.
And what about the Pittsburgh Steelers right now? They're looking pretty good.
Offensively, no question. Defensively, they've got holes, and people, it used to be where, you know, the tough Pittsburgh Steelers, this and that, their defense is not what it was in the past. And I think people are presuming it is. They've got to score 30 points almost every game, against good teams, to win. And Big Ben, you know, people talk about the most valuable player. When he's been healthy, nobody's been better. I mean, Cam Newton's been great, no question. Russell Wilson's been great. Brady's been great. But Big Ben's been as great as they have been when he's been healthy this season. So if he stays healthy, they certainly have a chance. But that defense, again, is not what it has been in the past. I don't think anybody can argue that.
All right. From Los Angeles, Fred Wallen. We kept you a little longer than expected, but it's been interesting. Fred, thank you very much, and have a great holiday season.
Hey, guys, thank you. Same to you.
And we want to thank you for listening to this edition of the Weekend Sports Report. Remember, you can get us on iTunes. You can go to internetfm.com. That's internetfm.com. Or you can catch us at PackerDaveShow.com. PackerDaveShow.com. A lot of ways to get us. Also hear us on MileHighRadio.com and ZCOMRadio.com, the choice channel. And glad for all those outlets. Thank you for carrying the show. Steve, happy holidays to you.
Happy Christmas. Merry New Year.
All right. Good work on the show this year. And for you out there, you have a great Christmas, and we'll be talking to you soon. Take care. For Fred Walling, for Les Grobstein, for Steve Leventhal, I'm Packer Dave. Bye now.
Bye-bye.
Goodbye.
Keep your feet in the ground and keep reaching for the stars.
That's right, tough guy.
Bye-bye.
Get the bears, come back.
Goodbye.
Tell you what, Dipstick, you can just come on down here and smooch my big old white butt. Pucker up, Buttercup.
Yeah, I hear you, Fruitcake.
Oh, it's hopeless. I ought to club them and eat their bones.
Goodbye.
Now you ladies, carry on.
Excellent.
See you later, pal. I'm going home.
Wait a minute.
Well, I'm glad that's over. Now it's over.
Good night, ladies.
Good night, sir.
Let's get out of here.
During the holiday season, I love to see all the lights. I'm Danny Lipford with tips for today's homeowner. Stay tuned and we'll talk about putting them up the right way right after this.
The bathroom is one of the main sources of excess moisture and humidity in the home, both of which are signs of poor indoor air quality. Poor indoor air quality can lead to health issues such as increased allergy symptoms, asthma, or respiratory problems. Make sure to use the ventilation fan in your bathroom not only while you shower, but also for 10 minutes afterwards. For a hands-free operation, use a Brone humidity sensing or motion sensing ventilation fan. You can learn more at Brone.com. Brone New Tone, bringing fresh ideas home.
I love Christmas lights. Don't get me wrong, I'm not like Clark Griswold with one of those out-of-control displays, but I do think a few strings of lights here and there add a very festive feeling to a home. The problem is that most people use nails or staples to hang them, and that's bad news for your house. If you leave the fasteners there after the holidays, they're unsightly and they rust. If you remove them, they leave unsightly holes that invite moisture into the wood, causing decay and damage. Instead, try using those little plastic hooks from the home center designed to slip under the bottom row of shingles and hold the lights. For window frames, there are self-adhesive Velcro tabs that secure the strings, and on railings, you can use good old-fashioned plastic zip ties. I'm Danny Lipford with tips for today's homeowner.
Have you ever been turned down, rejected, or downright denied because of bad credit? Don't let your dreams disappear. We here at Parkview Credit can help you qualify for that new car you've been dreaming about or that new home you know you deserve. Never again be rejected because of bad credit. Just call us here at Parkview Credit today and see how much we can help boost your credit score. We've helped thousands repair their credit so they could finally start qualifying for the purchases they've been dreaming about. Stop being held back from getting the things you want. We help rebuild your credit score so you can qualify for the home, car, or credit card you deserve. No matter how bad your credit is, just call 1-800-735-0497 today to see how much we can help your credit score. No one is turned away. Call now, 1-800-735-0497. That's 1-800-735-0497. Again, 1-800-735-0497.
This is Bart Shore, and I want to invite you to visit InternetFM.com. This great site has online stations streaming rock music 24/7, hundreds of podcasts with on-demand music, sports, and talk programs. Also get daily features, music news, and useful links. Our radio stations have limited or no commercials at all. InternetFM.com. It's totally free. No sign-up required. If you love music, then InternetFM.com is for you. Also on Facebook at InternetFM.
Thanks for calling Consolidated Credit Counseling Services. Can I help you?
I sure hope so. I'm in debt.
Is it credit card bills?
Yes, I have two credit cards that I'm making minimum payments on and another that I'm behind on. I owe about $5,000.
What interest rates are you paying?
Between 18 and 22%.
At that rate, it'll take over 20 years to pay off.
Wow. 20 years?
What Consolidated Credit can do is work with your creditors to lower your payments and reduce or even eliminate your interest charges. You should be able to pay everything off in 3 or 4 years.
What do I have to do?
Just give me some details and get ready to celebrate your freedom from debt.
We're Consolidated Credit. We're here to give you freedom from debt.
Call now for your free consultation.
If I had known it was this easy, I would have called years ago.
Call 1-800-530-5341. 1-800-530-5341. That's 1-800-530-5341.
Consolidated Credit Counseling Services Incorporated, 5701 West Sunlight Boulevard, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 33313. Not a loan company, licensed by New York Department of Financial Services and by the Vermont Department of Financial Regulation, Maryland DM-19, Oregon DM-80031.